If you got your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter number 22. If you've noticed, I think you might have noticed what the theme of this service is. Calvary. Amen. He came to me. I'm going to read 14 verses. Then here's what I'm going to preach on. I want you to really get your mind on where I'm at here. Because it's found in this passage what Calvary, listen, what Calvary meant to God the Father. What Calvary meant to God the Father. Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 plainly says what Calvary meant to the Son. We can read the Gospels and find out what Calvary done for us. But I want to give you what Calvary meant to God the Father. Look at Genesis 22 and follow with me these 14 verses. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. He said, take now thy son. Now, underline this next phrase because it's an amazing phrase. Thine only, what? Son, Isaac. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Did Abraham have another son? Another son before he had Isaac? He sure did. You want to know all the trouble they're having over in the Middle East and over in that area right now? It's happening right here, right up here in Genesis when Abraham took a shortcut and had a child of an Egyptian woman. And by the way, God, in this passage of Scripture, doesn't even recognize him. Because that wasn't the plan of God. He said, take thy son. Whew, glory to God. Somebody help me here. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. Or tell thee of, excuse me. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, oh Lord God, mark that down, underline that, that's good. Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder. And listen to this word. Some of y'all write this down. Worship. Write down this thought there and I'll move on. First mention. Worship's never mentioned till then. We think we have a grip on it. But I want you to know, when you find out what worship means in this passage of Scripture, you might find out sometimes we come very short of what worship really is. Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, listen to this, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, now I want you to know something. Abraham was dreading this question. my son? And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, dear Lord, underline this. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay him. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I knowest that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. Stay with me, boy, this is getting good. And looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. That is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it has been seen. The word Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will see to it. I want you to stay with me for a moment, and I'm going to be your usher. And let the Holy Spirit be your guide. And let's go to this holy mountain. But let's also see a holier place, which this place represents. Now let me give you another verse. I won't turn you to it, but I want you to think on it. The Bible says in the New Testament that the gospel was preached to Abraham. You said, where? Genesis chapter number 22. On May 29th, 1953, a man named Sir Edmund Hillary, he was a mountain climber, was going to go do what no one else had ever done. And that was to climb up to the top of Mount Everest, the tallest mountain on the earth. 2,902 feet above sea level. He planned for hours. He got the supplies. He clawed his way up the mountain. Cut out steps in the snow. Walls of ice had to be scaled, bringing utter exhaustion. Time and strength was running out. Sir Edmund finally scaled to the top at 11:30 a.m. But here in Genesis chapter number 22, there's another mountain. A mountain where spiritually no other man had ever went. But now God was sending Isaac and Abraham up to that mountain. By the way, let me give you something here. On the southern end of that mountain, same mountain range, you all know where the Dome of the Rock is. That's where this particular place was. And they can say it's holy to two or three religions. But I want to tell you, there's two predominant religions it's holy to, and the other one, it is not holy because it was not true that was said there. It wasn't holy to Islam. They take it as a holy place, but I want you to know it was holy to the Christian, but it was holy to the Jew because it was a place And there's a rock there, and we didn't get to go in there. And they're not allowed to go in there to worship anymore and go in there to see it. But there's a rock there with blood on it. I don't know if it's a rock, same rock, but I want you to know it brings chills to my spine. But I want you to know on the southern end of that same mountain range, Mount Moriah, there is a skull place, a place called Calvary, where your Lord and my Lord went and died for you and me. Well, glory. I want you to see when we look at this interaction between a Father and a Son, I want you to think of on the interaction between God the Father and God the Son, because this is a perfect type of what was going to happen later on when Jesus would go to that place called the skull, to Golgotha, to die for you and me. Well, glory. Now let me give you some things. Number one, I want you to notice and look at the first couple verses. Notice it said, and it came to pass after these things. I want you to notice, first of all, the way of the cross. And it came to pass after these things. There came a sudden test. What was the things? Well, when Abraham faced a farewell to his family and left that heathen family and went on for God. What was the things when he faced a famine and went down to Egypt and even failed there? What was it is when he had a family feud with Lot? What was it when he had to face five kings and defeat them to save Lot? What was it when he faced his fears? But now he learned to walk by faith, worship by faith, and live by faith. I wonder how many in this room, in your heart of hearts, come on, let's quit playing church. In my heart of hearts, I want to walk by faith and live by faith and worship by faith. I think one thing we need to do, let's quit playing games with what great Calvary done for us. It ain't a game. The eternal destiny of souls are at stake. Listen to this quote, and I'm going to give it to you. Our faith, listen, I want you to grab it. I'll slow down. Our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable. Do what seems unreasonable. And expect what seems impossible. Can I say that one more time? Your faith is not really tested until you bear what seems unbearable and do what seems unreasonable and expect what seems impossible. That's exactly what Abraham done. He was told to take his own son. How many of you right now would take your child and go on a mountain? And if you want to know what a burnt offering is, I'm going to tell you. A burnt offering is, first of all, you slice the throat and drain the blood. Your child. Then you flay it with a knife into little pieces. Your child. Put yourself there. Because Abraham was there and God was there. And I want every one of y'all to know something. Abraham in his mind already had slain his son. Abraham in his mind already knew God was going to do something to get his son resurrected. Because that's why the gospel was preached unto Abraham. Now after the preparation, after these things came examination. Look at verse 2. Moriah means foreseen of God. How many of you, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Let's don't be silly about this. God foresaw man falling into sin. Don't be casual about that. God foresaw and foreknew that His Son was going to come and die for you before you were ever born. And not only you, but for every person in this world. Somebody ought to raise up and shout right there. God knew mankind would sin, but in advance, God had a plan. Man, David told me not to get up, but I want too bad. God didn't do like you and I. Now, I'm going to tell you, I do this once in a while. A few say you don't. Praise God. Bless your heart. How many of y'all ever once in a while something comes on you real fast and you scramble? Come on, help me. Scramble to deal with it. Scramble. I was thinking of Sean and Rich, and their daddy went to was up there and doing his exercises, and his heart went out of rhythm, and they scrambled. Didn't you? You didn't plan for that. You didn't go to work thinking that. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't know what's going to happen to us. But I want you to know we're not looking and listening to a God that Calvary's an afterthought and Calvary just came to Him. But no, we're looking at a God that knew all things before they ever happened.
Amen.
Well, glory. And the simple trust I see here is verse 3. They rose up early. And verse 4, they started seeing the place. Listen to me. Father, put yourself there. Could you hear the pulse in Abraham? Could you hear it? Could you feel the pulse? Could you probably see it in his shirt? Look at him! They had traveled 3 days' journey, which was 30 miles. And there was no explanation on why so far. But I know why. It wasn't built yet, but that's where Jerusalem was going to be. That's where the temple was going to be. That's where your sins were going to be paid for. Now stay with me. I don't want you to lose me here. Stay with me, because I'm going to bring a great truth out in a minute. Look at verse number 5. He told the others to abide you here. And we're going to go yonder and what? We're going to go yonder and what? Now, I'm going to give y'all something straight here. And I'm going to teach you something. This is a follow-up from last week, but I want to teach you something. Worship is not singing hymns and singing songs or even testifying. Worship is not praying, preaching, fellowship. First time it was mentioned, write this down somewhere. The word worship means bow down. To worship God is simply for you to bow down to His will. Recognize that He knows best. Now, once you get to that place, you'll know the right kind of music to sing. You'll know the right kind of preaching to preach. And I want to tell this congregation this. You know one of the major things in my preparation to come here and preach this morning was? You said, well, you had to take a lot of time with this message. I sure did. But the last 3 days, and this morning, a climax there in my room, I was preparing my heart that it bow down. Because I'm coming into a place and I need to be bowed down. We got too many pulpits full of pride. We got too many people singing full of pride. And maybe they sing good, But Brother Jason, when I saw your humility today, I said to myself, and Deanna, when you sang today, and it touched my heart so much, I said, they've already bowed down. They've already bowed down. They bowed down because it came out with power. It came out with that ministered to my soul. Ladies and gentlemen, we never get to a place of worship until we are in the will of God. And the will of God might involve waiting. It might involve suffering. It might involve dying. We don't always know, but I want to tell you, there's no better place to be than in the will of God. Whew. Y'all with me? I spent a lot of time on that point. I hope I can get to the rest of them. Look at number 2 in verse number 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering. He laid it upon his son. Come here. It would be now down. It would be like, this is Isaac, this is Isaac. And Abraham got all the wood it would take to sacrifice and put it on him. Said, now, right up there, that's where we're going. And he walked by his side. Could you imagine the sweat was coming off that son? Could you imagine him watching him, knowing he was getting ready to go up on that mountain, and knowing that he had the knife in his hand, and he had the fire, and he's going to cut his throat, and he was going to cut him up, and he was going to burn him? Watched him stagger. But ladies and gentlemen, what about God the Father, who watched the beating son? Who watched them plant a crown of thorns in his head? They were about that long. And plant means they pressed them down and pushed them. Put a cross on his back after they had beat him. He started staggering. It was so bad for him. He wasn't only sweating, but he was bleeding and sweating. And your Savior fell under the load. And they got an Ethiopian. What was it? I hope I'm right there. For some reason I went brain dead for a second. But they got a man from Cyrene. Thank you. That said, got over there and carried the cross the rest of the way up. Could you imagine him? The Son of God, the Lamb of God, staggered his way all up the hill. He said, why'd he do that, you? Why'd he do that, you? Why did God allow it? Because he so loved the world. The way of the whole world was on that cross. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. But I want you to notice the third thing. Look at verse 7 and 8. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, and this was a revelation, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. The word of the cross. Where is the lamb? Yeah. What about the prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane? How many knows what the prayer of Jesus was in Gethsemane? Father! If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. God, help me! That's what really Isaac was saying. Father, help me! Notice the answer from Abraham. God will provide himself a lamb. But I want to tell you something. Your Savior, Jesus, no answer. No other way. He had to die. They come up to me and they mock us sometimes when we say there's only one way to heaven. They say there's a lot of ways to get to Rome, but there's only one way to heaven. And then when they put him on that cross, look at me. I want to describe this to you. They took the nails and put them in his hands, not breaking a bone. And they stripped him. Why did they strip him? They stripped him so you could be clothed. Put nails in his feet. Mocked him. What did he say about it all? Would somebody shout or rejoice? What did he say about it? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Ladies and gentlemen, I was running on the fast lane of life. My life was meaningless till one day I found out somebody helped me that God had a plan. And that God sent His Son, and the word from the cross is John Smith. Even 2,000 years later, you're forgiven. Your sins are gone. You're declared righteous. The blood has washed them away. And lastly, look at verses 8 through 14. And I'll be done. The wonder of the cross. They went both together, the Bible says. Notice the submission of the cross. He was willing. And Isaac was willing. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Isaac wasn't dragged up to Moriah. And don't let anybody tell you that the Romans killed Jesus. God the Father put His wrath on Jesus so His wrath don't have to come on us. And Abraham, this represents the highest possible pinnacle of surrender a man could ever do. Could you do it? Could you take your son, walk up a mountain, lay him on an altar? Almost another time. For me right now, that sounds very difficult. I'm not going to get ultra spiritual and say, oh yeah, I can do it. Then notice the last thing I'm done. The substitution of the cross. Now here's where the type ends. And the need of Abraham and Isaac himself was met. Abraham had it right there. How many knew? You were reading the scripture? Did he have the knife there? Was he going to be obedient? And then here's what happened. Angel said, huh? Now I know. You don't have to do any more. I know. You'll follow God. Don't you touch your son. Now I'm about to get happy. And he looked over to the thicket, and a ram was stuck in the thicket. Now hold a minute. Don't you dare call this a coincidence. How in the world would it be a coincidence for a ram to be in the right territory? Somebody help me. At the right time. And be the right type. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ with Calvary's cross came to our territory.
right at the right time. We were we were ready to go to hell. And he was the right type, because the blood that was in his veins was the blood of God. I want to show you two things. Number one, you saw the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. Isaac actually, in the mind of Abraham, was resurrected. But you also saw the substitutionary death of Christ. And why did God do all that, go to all that trouble? Because of you. Bow your head with me. Stay with me a minute. I hope you got live stream still going, please. Ladies and gentlemen, that's listening by TV and live stream. We just had two men saved, Kenny and Tim. They came because they needed saved. Can I say to you, you need saved? Can I say to you that God sent His Son for you? And right where you're at, you can do this. Pray this prayer, dear God, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me of my sin. And Christ, the best way I know how, I'm trusting you as Savior. Thank you for saving me. Right there where you're at, beside your computer, or there in front of your TV set, will you bow your head? And we want to see God do something great in your life. And I'm going to pray for you right now. As we dismiss our congregation, I'm praying for you.